what's up, sinners and choosers? Welcome to Choose Your Own Religion. My name is Joe. Thank you guys for tuning in this week. This is the show where it's me and comedians talking about religion, whatever we grew up with, what we believe now, etc. And today, it's another day of me being a little bummed out. I know this is the second week in a row. I'm trying to rebound. And it's important to know I haven't been a sad sack of shit all week. I'm still a little bit mentally under the weather. I just got out of a relationship. And it wasn't even that long of one. And that's why it's like on paper. It doesn't feel like it should be that big a deal. You know, and it's one of those things where you're like, I should be better than this. I should be able to rise above and be fine. And I know I'm going to be fine. I mean, we talk about it a little bit in this episode with Brianna Hansen, by the way, my guest today. Great guest. I love that conversation. That was is exactly what I needed. But it doesn't completely change how I feel in those quiet moments. You know, I will say this. I've been dealing with this a lot healthier by working out a lot. So I'm just flooding my body with as much endorphins as I can possibly cram in there. So that the cells in my body are like, well, my mind is telling me to be sad, but I feel jacked up. It's very difficult to be sad after a run. Now, that being said, there's a lot of times I'm not running. It's those quiet moments, you know, in the car, which is a lot in LA. It's those in-between spaces, in between the distractions where you just don't know what to do. And it's one of those things where I can be a black or white person. I can be very much like, this is working, let's fully invest in it, or this isn't working, I have to completely remove this from my life. And I think this year, something I can do to grow is embrace more of the gray area. Because see, this is part of my problem is I would go, as George Carlin would say, inside every cynic is a disappointed idealist. And that's definitely been true for me over the course of my life. I go from being an idealist who has the stupid idea to put a religious podcast together, who wants to believe there's some kind of positive impact he could make, who really is a romantic, who really believes in love and wants to honor ideals, wants to try to live up to them, wants to live by that code. And then when you get disappointed, and it's not always other people disappointing it. Sometimes it's just life. And in this case, it was more just timing and life, circumstances, more than any person to blame. It's easy to blame a person. We so quickly like to blame a person to try to put some order into the chaos, but it's scary just seeing that there's a lot of chaos in there, and I got swept in by the chaos this time. And when that's happened to me historically, I can get very cynical, and I'm really fighting not to be that this time. It's hard though, man. It's hard not to just want to say, what does any of it mean? Why am I caring? Why am I trying? Nobody else is. But that's a lie. I know people are trying. I know some of you are trying. I know some of you are idealists. And I know some of you are cynics too. And that's kind of cool knowing that people who seem so fundamentally different, a cynic, you know, somebody who's like, who's just totally skeptical towards the whole world and the whole proposition of human cooperation, who's fully bought into the idea that people are selfish, and an idealist who believes we can be better than that, who knows we're not perfect. I think it's just cool that they are, you know, one's hot water and one's cold water, but they're coming from the same tap. I think that's cool. And I just have to not embrace the naivete of idealism, but also not embrace the naively negative attitude of cynicism. They're both naive. Any ideology ultimately breaks down into being naive in some form or another. I hate to break it to you. If you're any kind of ideology, you're going to be sacrificing a good amount of pragmatism somewhere along the way. You're going to be giving up a good amount of making progress in your life. And in a greater global picture, of course, we need cynics and we need idealists. We need people who are ideological on a global level to help push the conversation various ways. But man, as for me, my goal for this year is to live more in the gray areas, and not embrace the sadness. I don't like being a sad sack, man. I don't want to be that. I don't want all my comedy to be about sad shit. I don't want to bring people down. I don't want to expect to be lifted up when I go out. I want to go out and help other people, lift people up, not be the bummer, bring the energy up. And sometimes I can be that way. But the guy you see on the podcast is not always me. A lot of times I'm sad in these quiet moments. Well, here's to embracing some gray areas going forward. And I know I'm going to be fine, but man, when you... Suffering and loss is real, guys. It's real, and we all feel it. I know you're all feeling it for something or another, so it's not hard to figure out why religions ultimately come back to being kind to one another and realizing everybody hurts sometimes. My guest today is Brianna Hansen. This was a great conversation. It was pretty uplifting, all things considered. It was exactly who I needed to talk to. She runs a show called Metaphysical Comedy that's in Los Angeles. It's also on iTunes, and you can check it out there. BriannaHansen.com for more of her stuff. If you're into my stuff, you're probably going to be into some of her similar things. Or maybe not on the same page, but you bet your ass we're pages in the same magazine. So I think you guys are going to like this episode. If you like want to hear more old episodes, you can go to ChooseYourOwnReligion.com. Find those there. Email me, joe@joequint.net, if you want to say anything. And that's it. This show is for you guys. Thank you so much for being with me. I appreciate it. Love you. Here's Brianna Hansen.
Allow the soothing music and uplifting affirmations to center your heart and mind in an awareness of God's love.
Wake up, my dear sinners. Wake up from your deep rest. Won't you say your prayers? Know that you are blessed. I love you, oh, but Jesus loves you the best. And I hope that you choose your own religion.
Are we starting?
I just started again. I just now hit it.
Great. Okay, good. So people didn't hear me cuss.
No. All the dirty words.
All the cussing.
But no, I was just saying I empathize with anytime, because I have to work on the West Side. It's an extra motivation. I usually just stay and figure out something to do over there.
You become a West Sider.
Yeah, and then I come back here just to sleep.
Yeah. You sleep here. You live on the West Side.
Right. Exactly.
I get it.
Most of my life is. It's weird. I'm here for the weekends. Like I'm like a dad who's like working. You know,
you have like
commuting.
A step relationship with your apartment.
Right. Exactly.
Every other weekend and holidays.
This is
my
mistress apartment. That's just for me, actually. Anyway, thank you so much for coming.
Of course, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for working around my chaos. It's chaos.
Thank you for accepting that I'm such a loser, that I am very flexible.
No, it's good. It's
all kinds of free time.
Listen,
to
we've
just
got this
shift around.
Strawberry moon, and it is messing with everything. And
wait, what's
everyone.
A strawberry moon?
Oh, I think it's not as cool as it sounds. It's like a moon that they would harvest strawberries during. Like, it's not a pink moon, which is what everyone thinks.
Right, that's what
but
I think.
But if you're into astrology, as I am, or if you're into the fact that stars and moons can affect us, as I am.
Okay.
It's like a full moon, and it's like a special full moon, so it's just screwing with everybody.
I'm really excited to get more into that.
great.
Only because I am a skeptic about astrology, and I was actually saying this last night to somebody I was getting some drinks with. I'm like, I feel like I need to apologize in LA anytime I'm like, you know what, I'm sorry, I just don't get astrology, but that's cool that you do.
I would feel bad, except I have to apologize for myself everywhere else in the world. So here I'm like, you issue that apology. That's right. These are my people.
This is like a very, I would say this is the most into astrology city I've ever encountered.
Oh yeah. I'm putting my phone on do not disturb because I don't want to be disturbed. That way it's not like a buzz. Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, if your computer's going funky, Mercury's in retrograde, for sure. And I wonder
if your computer's going funky.
Oh, you haven't even heard about this?
No.
Oh, it's a whole thing.
What
Mercury
does that mean?
Retrogrades all the time.
Okay, I know the Mercury. I've heard of the Mercury retrograde. That's the extent of what I've heard.
Okay, it messes with electricity. It messes with, you know, energy. Okay, so let's put aside whether or not there's truth in that. Enough people in this city believe in it that there has to be some sort of placebo effect that goes in effect.
Right, yeah,
at least here.
A synchronized placebo effect. Exactly. Therefore, it makes something happen.
A mental
happen.
Synchronized placebo effect that affects the actual electricity.
Right.
Whether or not. And then you go to Indiana and Mercury's retrograding and everyone's fine because... Mm-hmm. No one's worried about it. But out here, it's like, okay, brace yourselves, guys.
I see. Well, there's something that actually makes sense to me about that. I'll take it to a maybe probably a more mundane and less interesting example, but like the stock market, right? Like a lot of the economy is based on confidence. Like it manifests itself just by people feeling good and positive, like believing that it's going to continue to grow.
Right.
And then when we believe it's not going to grow, that's a recession. That's literally like all that. The whole group psychology of it defines what it actually becomes in that way.
I've never thought about astrology being like the stock market. I can totally see that. Because especially like what you were talking about, the city, especially this area, loves that idea. So I can definitely see if people are like, well, the full moon's out and, you know, we're in Gemini. So heaven forbid your ideas not be heard or something.
We are in Gemini.
I'm throwing out truths, but in a way of making fun of them.
but I only know that because my birthday is tomorrow, actually. So
happy birthday.
Thank you. But wait, I'm a Gemini, though. Aren't you?
Are
you supposed to be like wary of Geminis or something?
No, I hope not. I'm engaged to a Gemini.
Oh, okay.
I certainly hope we get along.
I'm
pledging my life to one.
All I heard recently, I had somebody I was dating recently tell me this, like, oh, Geminis are great, except they're kind of two-faced. And I said, oh, that's bullshit. But inside I was like, oh, that's kind of true.
So you're two-facing
exactly.
her.
Exactly. I mean, I was totally, that was my natural reaction.
That's
like,
funny.
Oh, fuck.
Well, we always assume, and I know an embarrassing amount if we're getting into it, but to your example, first of all, Geminis kind of get a bad rep because of the two-face, but we always assume it's a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde two-face. And it's not necessarily.
It's
like,
not.
It can be, it's not a good and evil two-face. It's literally like for instance, he'll hate this, but I don't care. I'll give my fiance as an example. If he has these, which he's in many ways fits into his stereotype, and in many ways does not. But the ways that he does, he's like super extroverted, super I'll meet everybody. Mm-hmm. And then he has this like work personality, you know, and his work personality
I'm
is
exactly like that.
Yeah. He's more serious. Like he comes home and I'm like in a play mood and he's like, I'm not there. Like I'm not, you know, so
I got to be in my head a little bit. I got to zone out a little bit.
Yeah. So yeah, it's not like he's like all of a sudden becoming a serial killer on the weekends and like a super good guy during the week. So that's the bad rep that it gets. Yeah. And I think everyone has that. For me, the astrology.
That's what I think too.
Astrology is like a storyline, right? Like any other mythology,
yes.
It tells a whole story. And so elements of all of these personalities come together to create a society. Mm-hmm. So you need the Aries because they're the ones that just go without thinking because they're the starters of settlements. Mm. Then you have the Taurus that actually finishes the job that the Aries start because the Aries get bored and move on. And then you keep going. So like all of us have elements of all of it. So it's just if you go into the astrology, you project certain elements more highly than others. Mm-hmm. And for me, if you believe in it, which I'm not like, I sound like I'm super interested in it and I'm very into it and I do, but I also am very okay with like not because some days
sure,
I don't.
Yeah.
But if you believe in like you get to choose your own destiny and we're here for a reason, our souls have a reason, blah, 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 you'd probably choose a time to come into this earth where the energy of that time would best affect what your outcome is.
Mm.
So like... Okay. A Gemini might be more communicative or whatever. So that's going to be important to you on this journey, or at least you'll manifest in your sun sign because there's all these things that go into it. Oh my God, you're glazing over. Uh-huh. Anyway,
no, but
so that's sort of elements.
No,
of
I'm
it.
Just, I'm thinking about it. And I definitely think, I mean, I've just always assumed like, oh, people are projecting. You could apply any of these to anybody.
And you can, yeah.
But you're saying it's like a percentage thing. It's like maybe yours might be more strongly suited than one or the other.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So in my mind, it's like, because I thought about this, I played saxophone for a long time. This is related. And for a while, I sort of plateaued in it because I got good enough for me. And I would go take my lessons and my teacher could tell I like, you know, was plateauing.
Oh.
And or he was really chatty, so he would talk astrology to me. So I got like hour-long astrology lessons like in high school for a solid year. So I know too much about this.
Wow.
But in a nutshell, we all harp on the one thing, the way when you were born. but that itself has three elements to it. And then in your chart, you've got 19 elements, and they're constantly moving and changing. So you're a Gemini, but you could have like an Aries rising and be like a Taurus moon, which means you don't at all feel like a Gemini. Like you don't at all. So it's this whole thing. See, there's I'm simple because if in mine, I'm always like, I identify with it so much. But then I found out that I'm like the top three things, which are your sun, moon and rising. Mm. And sun's the one that gets all the glory. That's the one everyone knows, whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, mine's a Leo. Then my moon is a Leo, which means I'm double Leo, which means I feel exactly the way you would think a Leo feels.
Like a lion,
right. And very emotional and very like, I'm so sorry, I'm late. And you're like, just breathe.
I was like, it's fine.
I know. Everyone, literally, I'm like screaming at my fiance, like, your car. He's like, all right.
But I also feel very guilty when I'm late too. So that was actually endearing in that way. I was like, okay, cool.
You get it. Yeah. Anyway, so there's all these elements. That's sort of astrology. It's more complicated and also could be, you know, anytime you get people trying to justify what they believe in, it becomes complicated. So sure. I'm totally open to it being like, it's complicated because that's the way it works and we're complicated. And also maybe we're just making it up so it makes sense. And
sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, for me, I think about the back to the two-faced thing and Gemini stuff. I've thought about that too with like, and it's not nefarious for me, but it manifests itself in like, people pleasing, I think, where I want to, I catch myself presenting maybe a version of myself that I think the other person wants to see versus being the same person consistently. My end goal is to be that same totally authentic, totally unfiltered, or just, you know, totally the same person, regardless of what room I'm in, saying the exact same things. But if I'm honest, yeah, I think some of that comes from maybe part of it's definitely from my upbringing, from being from the South, where that's sort of a norm is mm-hmm. is to have manners or to be polite, which is not saying what you really think a lot of times.
Yes.
Is being passive aggressive and sort of being like, well, I think you could have done it a different way versus like, fuck you, man. Why'd you do that to me?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. So I don't know. Maybe Southern Geminis are the most two-faced of all of us.
You never know. I mean, it is dependent on when and where. And it's mm-hmm. just, you know, you got to get the whole thing. And it's an ever-moving creature. That's why people get like, they're, because as the stars move and as we move, you know, they change up their positions. And mm-hmm. you also have like, for instance, the way you're describing how you meet people is sort of how I like dated people for a long time.
Mm.
So maybe like, for instance, I don't know, I haven't had it in years and I didn't remember what it was when I did it. But my like dating house could have been in Gemini, meaning when I go on dates, that super manifests in me. So I become like whatever the people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm very two-faced about it, but not in like the evil way, just like in
right.
the,
I want us so to get along. I want you to like me.
Totally. I'll
not
become whatever
I have bad
you
intentions.
Want me to be. Like yeah. That type of thing, which I am not in like any other way. And funny enough, was not when I met my fiance. I was like, I'm done with that. I'm done with all that. Mm. This is me. And
done
then
with men.
I'm done with, I had one goal when I met him and it was to stay single. And I had, and it was the January 1st, we got coffee and he screwed it up.
Oh man. You're breaking my heart a little bit only because just today I'll open up.
Open up. Please.
Just to, well, last week, I was, so the past 3 months I've been dating somebody. Mm-hmm. It was going great. A week ago, she ended it because, and I know she wouldn't mind me even saying this just because I know her, but, she ended it because she didn't want to enter any relationship at all. And mm-hmm. it truly didn't have to do with me. Of course, in my head, me also being skeptical, me being insecure and hurt by that, I'm like, oh, it probably had something to do with me. It's yeah. probably something I did. Met up with her earlier today, and she just kind of confirmed that, like, no, I just don't want a relationship as a real goal of mine. It has nothing. I'm like, and so I'm very tender and jealous of you. I was like, man,
well,
maybe I could have swayed her.
She's stronger than I am then.
Yeah.
Who knows? I'm also probably older. And so I think I went like, and I set a lot of goals. And so I'm used to not achieving them. But but for me, what ended up happening is I fought the idea of I was open to dating, which it sounds like she's a little less open to that.
Well, she was into it. She was into dating for a little bit, but not in a relationship. Once it hit relationship territory, she was getting...
Yeah. So, and that happens. I was like ready to date. I was just ready to date whoever came along. I was in this zone. And I was really excited about that because I'd been in relationships and I was like, going to be free. But what happened is because I met him and who knows, maybe she's not your one and only. But it was just for me, after a couple months in, it was so different and had changed so much, and I just didn't want to see anyone. It would just became this, and I'm not trying.
Yeah, no.
But it's like it became this thing where I was like, I couldn't. I chose, which, and I'm probably in a very different headspace than her, but I chose to see what this would be rather than miss out on the opportunity.
I'm so sorry I just made that uncomfortable by trying to make you feel bad about your own success.
No, it didn't make me feel bad. It
just worked for you.
I don't know
what
she's...
It's beautiful.
I don't know what, you know, who knows what is going on in her, because I'm a little older, like I said, so I've probably been in the, I'm not doing this period phase. So I sort of was like, as you get older, everything becomes grayer, including your hair, but like all including gray areas, like everything just becomes gray where you're like, all right,
that's what I'm finding. I mean, just with the gray areas thing, also I'm gonna be fine. I'm gonna be
I'm not worried about you. If I was worried, I would talk about it more, but I'm not. You're gonna be fine.
And she's gonna be fine. She's making the right decision for her. All that doesn't mean I'm not a little hurt, whatever.
I've had those be there, and they're like, I just can't do it. And you're like, why not? Like, why? And and it's not like it doesn't hurt, but then as I look back on it years later, I'm like, oh yeah, that didn't work. Like, it was very like, oh, okay.
Well, every single, I mean, I don't know how many times it has to happen for me to not feel bad in the moment, but literally every single time something has caused me a great pain or great hurt, every single time it's led to something greater. It's led to me getting something better, or taking a fork in the road of my life that I couldn't have otherwise taken.
Always.
Opportunities that I wouldn't have even thought of pursuing. I just wouldn't have been on that same thing every single time. And so I know something like that's going to happen. But it's so funny when you're in the middle of it, the middle of the drama, and you can't zoom out, you can't picture yourself in the greater human drama of things. You're just like, and you're just so, your ego is so hurt. Like, you're taking it so personally, even if there's no reason to ever really take anything personally, as I believe. I don't think anything should be taken personally.
It doesn't matter. You're still allowed to have feelings because you're a person. Like, you don't have to take it personally, but you're a person. Like, it would be more disconcerting if you were like, you know, whatever, she can move. Like, it'd be more if you had a lot of perspective on this, then that means you wouldn't have cared about her at all. Like,
instant perspective is too, it's creepy.
Yeah.
Be a little hurt.
Right, exactly. If you were like, that's all right, I'm going to, for sure this, it'd be like, okay, you sociopath, I'm going to leave because you obviously don't care about person-to-person interactions.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, that I'm very happy that it did work out for you. So how is your family? Is your family into astrology at all? Or are they,
no.
You're like the...
I'm the weirdo of the family. Uh-huh. I'm not. Luckily for me, my family is very accepting in a lot of ways and very open-minded. But I am for sure the odd duck in many ways. No one's... They sort of put up with it. My dad's much more open to it. So he he'll jar me on it, but he'll egg me on and stuff, but he likes it. I grew up like Unitarian Universalist. I don't know if we talked. Oh, I mentioned this when I saw you went to a UU church.
I forgot about that. Yeah, yeah.
So they're very open-minded, very non-doctrinal.
Open. The most open of any church, pretty
You can't
much.
Get out of it. Meaning like when I finally,
I'm an atheist. You can stay.
Great, yeah. Like when do. I think I turned 18 or 17 or something, and I was never... It definitely influenced me, and I can see it in every way. But at the same time, it's non-doctrinal, right? So there's, it's just like, think your own things, make up your own beliefs, and search, study, find what's good for you. So I was like, I'm out of here. And they were like, yeah, we did it. She's open-minded. Like,
you're like, no, you're supposed to hate this.
You want to rebel, but you can't because they're so hippie love.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So that's like my background. So my parents, obviously, because I was raised in that environment and they got married in a UU church and stuff.
Wow.
And and it's relatively new. Like, I'm sort of an anomaly because the UUs is somewhat of a new religion or new church. So it's like, you'd have to be 80s babies,
right?
Where like some of the oldest always been UUs. So,
And they're like into like Ralph Waldo Emerson,
like they the love
Beatles.
Nature.
I remember I went to a UU church one time and they was like singing Beatles songs instead of hymns.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they don't do hymns.
Yeah.
For the most part, and it depends on where you are. I mean, obviously, different preachers and places will influence it, and it does come from a Christian background, so elements of it feel Christian. You've been places.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In that you call it's like the minister and
it has a format of a sometimes it has a format of a Protestant.
Definitely,
service.
But they specifically get rid of notions of God unless they're like so-and-so believes that God is this, then it's always like predicated.
Oh.
But what's interesting is years ago, I lived in Cincinnati and I went to Catholic schools for high school and college, and Jesuit, if you count it. But one of my friends went to a UU service because I was like working at a church there, and she'd grown up Catholic and stuff, and she's very intellectual. But afterwards, she was like, that was too intellectual for me. She's like, I want to go to church and get told a story. Mm. And I'd never thought about that. But then I thought, I was like, yeah, it was a sermon on hubris. Like, it was
right.
Pretty heady. And so I was like, oh, it's good to know different people sort of need different things. She's like, I want to check out. I want to get told a myth and let it inspire me.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the four yogas in Hinduism? It's the same idea, that there's four paths to God. I've heard this in a Christian context. It's like four paths, four ways of coming to understand God. But then they sort of mirror themselves in these. That's what's interesting to me, is that whoever came up with this concept, like, saw these four yogas, but basically they're like things like, one is the intellectual understanding of God. One is more of the, an emotional understanding of God and the emotional sort of relationship to it. One is a stillness, a coming to like complete emptiness, or sort of that kind of perspective of it. And then one is service, and one is like serving other people. And everybody's going to connect to different things. Some people are going to be much more strongly oriented toward. And I just think I've definitely found that to be true, thinking about people in my own church that I grew up at, churches that I grew up in. You know, some guys, they would never be there on Sunday, never wanted to come to a Sunday church, but by God, they were always cleaning the yard. They were always keep making the church grounds look nice. That's all they wanted to do. Yeah. And that's how they understood that was their role. That was their job. Now, maybe too, you'd have people who would over, like, I think a lot of people like the astrology signs.
Probably. I was just thinking that. Yeah.
Yeah. You have different elements. Like, yeah, I like a little intellectual, but I also love an emotional thing. Mm-hmm. Or I'm like, I need more heady shit. I just want to debate and talk about and theorize and get theological and be like a rabbi and have like...
Yes, and because that's... rabbi is like argue. I mean, I feel like you see that. I really like that. I haven't heard of those specifically, but I love that element because I think you see that all the time. You see that in like... any doctrine in like love languages, they say they're like whatever, however many love languages, but people have elements of all of, you know, or not all of them, but certain people can manifest both affection and words, or they need certain things. And and even like when you, you just see overlap of, in Ayurveda, there are three types of people, and like the Pitta, the Kafka, and the other one that's out of my mind. But anyway,
Kafka is that philosopher, right?
I think so. Kafka. I forget. Pitta. I know Pitta because I'm probably a Pitta. They tend to be red hair, talk a lot, and have a lot of energy.
Just like all the Pittas I know.
The Pittas, you know, exactly. but I forget all of them. I'm not an Ayurvedic expert. I read one book. But what was interesting is that it's the same idea where like, people change during the day. You have different manifestations. In the morning, you're more this. In the evening, you're more this. And then people have, but you always find that. And it is true. Like for some people, they're very strongly one thing, and that's what they want to do. And then other people need the variety. But you never get necessarily of all the variety. Like I don't need, for love languages, half that stuff. I don't need half of it. I do, but the other half, I'm like, don't do that. I don't, you know.
Right, and there's certain. Just seasons of my life and, you know, stretches where I would say in college when I first started like deconstructing my own Christianity, I needed an intellectual understanding of God. I thought that meant ironically not believing in God. Like my intellectual understanding of coming to know quote unquote God meant deconstructing the Christian notions I sort of had. But that was really fascinating to me, hearing all these different, you know, studying more Eastern stuff, like just wanting to know how different people had theories of God and how different. But now I'm actually less interested in that, much less than I even when I started this podcast. And now I'm more interested, I'd say lately there's like a, this is one of the more directly yoga things, more than the Christian thing, but like the idea of love, like being more connecting to a pure love sort of center and a pure, and sort of coming to understand whatever God is. And, you know, I know, you know, I'm using God extremely.
I know God. I'm 100% certain there is one. And
but you know I'm using that extremely loosely, vaguely.
Yeah, the universe, if you will.
Ethereally.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait, do you know
the energy systems?
I meant to ask you, speaking of love languages, do you know your love languages?
If you gave me the list, I know them off the list, but I think one of mine is quality time.
Yeah, quality time is one.
I'm big quality time.
There's like words, like verbal stuff. There's physical touch.
Yeah, I think I'm mostly gifts. Quality time, and then I mean, who doesn't like gifts? mostly quality time, a little bit of gifts, and then affection. I think those are my. I also, but it's not just like it's the way you show it, but also how you give it. So it's important to know how you're, because you may be hardwired to do one thing and your partner doesn't recognize it as. So there's an interesting thing with that, like. I'm very into quality time, and it's very important. It's like, it's this weird, like, hardwire for me.
I'm a quality time person too.
Right? Yeah, it's like a very, it's so strange. That's why I was able to do distant relationships for a while. Cause I was like, cool, I get a weekend and then I don't have to talk to you. I'm no problem for me, but that's not,
or we can talk on the phone and that still feels like quality time.
That's great. Cause it's one-on-one and it's me and you. And then I can like leave you alone the rest of the day and you can not live here. But, but that's one thing that I've had to like sort of teach my fiance is he does plenty of that. I don't ever feel not, but he doesn't understand for me, like it needs to be quality, not clocked. Like it's not just like, but we watched Vikings last night. I'm like, I don't,
that doesn't count.
It can't. And it's weird to be like, it's a very uncomfortable conversation, but it's like, I don't know how to tell you that isn't the same as watching Vikings outside at,
because
it's our thing.
As a fellow QT-er.
Thank you. You get it.
I get it. Because that's like, to me, that's not really, I mean, even my last relationship, we watched maybe literally one episode of one show together and that was it. And that was perfect for me. Like, that's not my idea of quality time.
Right.
It's conversation. It's active engagement. It's shared maybe new experiences or shared life experiences. Exactly. And I definitely cherish those. Not a great mix with somebody who doesn't want a relationship though.
Right. Exactly.
Not a great mix,
especially since you need the actual time put in, like that's.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and I think I also do think my secondary one of that would probably be verbal. Like I like being, I feel like I need to be told that like I'm special or I'm good or like,
well,
that.
You're also a comedian. So.
Big fucking Zachary.
I get it.
And I'm going to counterpoint you a little bit. I actually don't even know what to do with gifts. I feel uncomfortable when I get a gift. They don't resonate with me. I'm not like I got like a nice, it wasn't a huge check, but I got a check for my parents for my birthday. Just like, it's like a token kind of nice thing, but I was kind of like, I don't know, it's fine.
Yeah,
like,
it didn't strike you.
I feel more guilty that I'm not more appreciative. I feel like I often have to act surprised or act happy when I'm on like on Christmas or birth, and it's not because I'm not intellectually, I can be like, they're doing this out of love. They're being, and on that level, I can appreciate it, but it's not like emotionally resonating with me. I'm not like, I'm not lit up in the same way that I am lit up by quality time, or I am lit up by like a well-placed compliment.
Yeah.
That means a lot to me.
So like a good gift for you, like this is what I did with my brother and dad when we went home, is we did like a beer tour together. So it was like that for me, that was also a gift to me. Cause I was like, I get to chill with my homies on this like beer tour. We get to drink beer, which is like delightful. But it was like, I'm requiring you to spend time with me. You're not going to get anything physical, but I'm requiring you to hang out with me. And like those type of things I love. I tend to prefer those.
Wait, are you from Ohio?
I'm from Indiana.
Indiana.
Yeah.
Okay. So Midwest UU.
Midwest.
Did that stick out?
You know, I just went to a wedding at a, it did stick out. I just went to a wedding out here in Pasadena at the UU church. Mm. And I realized it is stunning. It is huge. They really seem to have a huge support system.
You seem
I'm
jealous.
I'm like, what? You guys got this? I mean, it's different. And everywhere has people who are questioning. It's just a matter of how open and how supportive the culture is to it. So Indiana has cool UU and more than one churches. They're not as plentiful. They're not as big. They're not as schmancy. But they're plenty. There's really cool stuff in all of them. So, and it allows me to, like, one of my favorite metaphysical shops is in Indianapolis, Indiana. You know, like, I love the metaphysical places out here. And there's plenty. But one of my favorite is like, is this New Age People? It's literally called New Age People.
New Age
and it's
People.
Like, come on.
I'm curious when you, and especially because you have a show called Metaphysical Comedy.
I do.
But what does metaphysical mean to you?
Great question. It means that which we can't see, taste, touch, smell are here. It means the feelings I would even call love a metaphysical thing, because it can't it manifests itself in curious ways. It's both energetic and emotional and intuitive. Like, I mean, not only love, but things that we can't. For me, it's an umbrella term for things that people become uncomfortable speaking about. Like, I would call this a metaphysical podcast. Sure, like, this is a questioning metaphysics, right?
Yeah,
so anytime you're not, anytime you want to say religion without the doctrine, I go metaphysical. So, like, you got crystals, metaphysical. You got a, you got an alien, metaphysical. Like,
that's smart, because there's a lot less baggage than spiritual. Spiritual has a lot of baggage these days.
Like, yes.
I mean, and it's, you know, I think in religion, just the word, it's so funny, just the all the associations we just have in our brain. You just say religion, you say spirituality to somebody, and your brain, it happens to me. It's just your brain immediately puts images, feel it. You have a feeling that's associated when you, and most people, when they feel, especially in liberal circles, when they hear religion, they're like, ugh.
Yep.
It's like a slight pain. It's and spiritual is kind of like a, like
hippy dippy.
Yeah, that's just.
But
dumb.
Even that's becoming, and there's nothing wrong with it, and don't get me wrong, I would love a spiritual gangster shirt. but it's even being commodified. Like, spiritual, the word and the idea and the notion behind it is being commodified. Eventually, probably metaphysical will, because everything's being commodified. But, like, that's sort of my problem with when people are like, well, I'm spiritual. I've got no problem with you saying that. Boy, I will talk to you all day. Cause, like, what does that mean? You're searching. Where are you at? Like, but I know that people do that because they're scared of saying religion. But when you say that, you take on all the baggage of spiritual, you know? And
I mean, I can't even mention spiritual without apologizing for saying it.
Yeah. But if you say metaphysical, then it's got more syllables. So it sounds
like, oh, you're smart.
Yeah.
You're really getting heady.
It's the same thing as spiritual, just
it's the same thing.
Without.
I love that. And it's like metaphysical when you were just talking about it reminded me, it's like a nicer, you know, people say supernatural too in the same way. And supernatural has its own baggage attached to it. It's like, oh, supernatural, that means magic. That means like insanity. That means things that aren't real, but you wish they were real, or pure fiction. And yet when you really think about it, supernatural is just that which is beyond the natural world. Although I guess you could argue a metaphysical thing could be within the natural world if it's it's not physical, but it's also natural.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Metaphysical, yeah. Metaphysical is everything. I would argue anything fits into that giant umbrella. But I got excited about your supernatural because I'm reading a book right now, and the title, it's got like 18 subtitles, like all sort of academic books do, but the title is Supernatural, and it's an academic approach to studying things we don't understand. And it's, you'd love it. But it's basically like breaking down why there aren't more studies on, like, how extraordinary things have happened throughout time, extraordinary people have existed, how there's both documented modern cases and old, constantly going myths about what's going on, and why people don't touch it. So, if you look at why there aren't more studies on certain things, because, you know, University of Michigan, let's say they do a study, they don't want to be the people that published about the guy who didn't need to eat.
Yep.
You know, like, they don't, because then they get the stigma of, oh God, they're into that. And so, and as long as mainstream people aren't touching it, it remains in outside of it. So,
And it is difficult. It is legitimately difficult to study that, to study something that can't be quantified.
Because, and I was just, this is the idea that blew my mind, and I'm only like a third of the way into this book, but this is what I had never thought about before, but is so true. Our notion and understanding of reality, including like Einstein's physics, is one perspective. So we answer questions that fit, we ask and answer questions that only fit into our narrow perspective.
Right.
So anything outside of it, we don't understand, we label as whatever.
Yep.
But this supernatural opens the idea that there may be more than one perspective on seeing the world.
Yes. Well, this reminds me so much, all this reminds me of mushrooms. But like,
I have so many psychonaut friends, and they're like, why don't you do it? And I'm like, have you met me normal? Like, I can't touch it. I am a psychopath.
But I will only because I've been reading this book called Cleansing the Doors of Perception. Now, the Doors of Perception was the original book by Aldous Huxley, which was one of the first sort of like depictions of somebody experiencing psychedelics and like reporting back. He was like, it was like the first psychonaut kind of book. It was on mescaline. Now, Cleansing the Doors of Perception was a book by this guy, Houston Smith, who is one of the most prominent religious academics. So he kind of would, he had a textbook that, like, if you were going to study like world religions in college anytime from like the 50s to the 80s or 90s, you would probably read his textbook.
Cool.
Just like a big one. Anyway, but he was loosely associated with the psychedelic movement. Like, he was at the same, at MIT and Harvard during the same time that Timothy Leary was starting to experiment with LSD, and Richard Alper, who became Ram Dass, they started taking all these things. And this book has been, it's a collection of his essays just talking about trying to have an academic approach to psychedelics, and also to what more specifically, do psychedelics have a religious import? Can you say you have a genuine religious experience on these things? And it is so hard to quantify. It's it's really difficult. And yet it seems like more and more that you can, and they are, and that perhaps a lot of people think that a lot of ancient religions were heavily influenced by psychedelics, and that they just sort of hid the sources. They kind of hid that, or other people covered their tracks too. But you're not into psychedelics.
Well, I'm not, but it's interesting because I wish I could handle it, and sort of. There's a couple elements that go into it, but for me, the one time I had candy weed. I had like chocolate, here's my two experiences having chocolate weed. One, I fainted.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So bad for body. Uh-huh. Brianna's body doesn't like. Yeah, years later, I was like, we'll try it again. Mm-hmm. I watched three episodes of The Following in a row. And you know how in the intro of The Following, there's like a thing that like something happens and then the title card comes on and says The Following, and it also comes on at the end. I sat there for 3 hours, unsure how to swallow and unsure if I'd ever become normal again. And this is like one bite. Like, we're talking very mild.
Right.
And then at the very end, when the title card came on, I turned to my fiance and I said, did all of that happen before the intro? That's all I said for 3 hours. I thought 3 hours worth of three different shows happened before one show's end. Intro. Wow. I had no sense of time, and I didn't, for me, like, and you can probably pick up on my energy, like, I love being present. Like, for me, there's almost like a challenge of like, what can we get from this? Like, what intuitions can I pick up on? What realities can I feel from being super present? And it just doesn't, it's something about my energy shifts. Yes. When intoxicated, or when, and I don't count beers then, but like when I'm on, you know, something about that for me shifts too far from this sense, and I don't like it.
Totally. And I don't take edible marijuana very often at all for that reason. It hits me too hard. I don't like how it reacts with me. And I go through modes. I'm an all in, all out guy. I get very, I don't know if it's bipolar, probably not the right word, but I'm very like, I'll have months of my life where I'll smoke weed like all the time, and then long, even maybe twice as many months where I'm like not smoking at all. And I'm currently starting back into one of those.
Yeah.
And that I'm so into right now that idea of being present with everything. Like, even in the midst of this breakup, I was like, I don't want to smoke weed right now. And even though it hurts,
wow,
I don't want to feel distant from it.
You want to feel it.
I want to feel it. I want to be here for it. Because that's what makes life rich.
I think that's where I'm at. And it's not like even a better than. It's like, I think there's a lot of amazing things that are coming from psychonauts. Like, I think they're breaking down boundaries that would take too long in many ways.
And
it's just like,
yeah,
it's not, I'm sort of one of those, in the same way I'm like, astronauts, go find out what's there and report back to the people who will not do it.
Yeah. Like, well, and I will say too, that's what made it, I hadn't taken mushrooms for 5 years. I had a really bad it was good in some sense, but it was insane. I got naked. I'm banned from Malibu Creek State Park. it's a whole ordeal.
It sounds like a great experience.
It was a great experience in some ways. Got very lucky. It was only great because I got lucky that there were not more consequences that could have come from that. So I didn't take any mushrooms or any psychedelics for 5 years, but I recently took a very mild trip with some friends, and what I had forgotten that was different about mushrooms, and I'm not saying you need to take mushrooms.
Yeah, I got it. I'm good now.
I'm
not 18 anymore. I'm not like, what? I'm like, I'm good.
I just want you to know, I'm not like trying to sell them to anybody, but like, there was something interesting to me about how I felt like I was having some of those cool realizations that I often would, you will often have on marijuana. And yet I felt sort of sober in a sense. Like I felt like it was clear. Like I didn't have the grogginess of being stoned. I didn't have the malaise or the crazy paranoia. That's the one of two ways I go, you know, indica or sativa. It's like picking whether I'm going to be lazy or fucking paranoid and anxious.
Yes.
And
yeah,
in my,
I know.
Totally in my head. And so that was what was really interesting to me about taking mushrooms. It was like, and this is why I still, this is what I originally loved about them. And this is why I'll probably take more this year. And is that it reminds me, it gives me the feeling of the thing. It's the going back to the yoga's idea, coming back to the ways to understanding God. I can intellectually understand all these things about things I believe about God and how we're all connected and the nature of the universe and how crazy atoms are and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But then when I'm on mushrooms, I feel it and I emotionally connect to it. And I'm like, holy fuck. Why? I remember I was like, we have smartphones. Why is war even on the table?
You know, it's so funny. I have weird thoughts like that too. For me, they come from, and I don't do it enough, but it's this sounds like meditation for me, but literally like that is my like weird, if I have time and can block off and be by myself and burn some incense and I'm like, you and me brain, it's that same sort of go away thing. And what's so interesting is lately I've been thinking about war, but I've been thinking about, as a feminist with Wonder Woman out and all this stuff, I've been like, how cool is it that women, I love the way women are represented, but also like, I don't think war would be as big if we ran the shit. You know what I mean? Like, why is it our equality has to be predicated on things that men are physically better than? Like, men are physically built for the most part stronger than us. Great. Wonder Woman's a goddess. She's super strong. She's amazing. But like, why is that a strength to be as strong? Like, that's a measurement. We don't need to be measuring. Do you know what I mean?
I do what you mean. I'm going to counterpoint in that I always have felt that women are the social equivalent of men in terms of like men being physically, that's just naturally stronger without even trying, which is bullshit.
It is bullshit.
Like obviously women, like if women who work out will be stronger than some percentage of men,
but
like basically, you know, I mean, we don't need to.
Generally speaking, men are physically like their genetics, which also cause them to die sooner. Generally speaking, right. Cause them certain things. Yes. We're saying the same thing.
But in the same way, I feel that's how women are socially. They're like, women are just so naturally like Zen master. Like to me, it seems like a Zen master thing. I'm like levels of social grace and understanding and adaptability and like able to do it in ways that like, it looks to me like so much effort and so much work. And I'm like, how the fuck do you do that? And I've had to train myself just to become just adequate socially, and I know I'll never be as good as like the most sociable women or like any women who are sociable people. Yeah. I'm like, I'm just never gonna have that type of social strength. All I was gonna say was that, and now that we don't have as much war, much physical conflict, women are a lot better at this sort of soft psychological mind game.
Mind games.
Yeah.
See, I was gonna say two things about that. One was, so my idea was, hopefully, as this like a women's movement continues to go through, it turns into more communication because we are adept at that. And I think men are too. I think, you know, I have to sit down with my fiance who is open to it and communicative, but I have to start the conversation and I, you know, and y'all can come along. It's just, you don't see it, but it is. So for me, that's the hope of like a more peaceful future in that, you know, you can, it just sounds silly, but you can talk things out instead before you fight about them, you know, like it's just not,
oh yeah,
people are always going to fight people. There are warriors, there's all this stuff, but that's my issue. And I totally agree with you on the adept thing because it's, you know, there's even, and I don't want to say women's intuition because that sounds so dumb, but I think it comes from the sociability.
I think it comes from intuition too.
Well, yeah, probably seems magic to you guys because we pick up on all this stuff. Like I had to have a conversation recently with Alex about some issue that was going on, and it had been something that he hadn't seen in the entire time we were dating. It had come up a couple times, but finally we had to sit down and like talk it out. And he was like, well, I'm not dumb. And I was like, you're not dumb, you're a man. And like, I was like, and there's nothing wrong with that, but because you see the world in this perspective, you assume people think like this,
right.
You've never thought about the fact that this other element is not thinking like you, is not acting like you, and is a huge hindrance to who you are, what you are, and he was just like, oh my God. Like all of a sudden and I was like, cause it was a matter of like, this thing had to change. And I was like, I could tell you to do it and you'd be happier, but like, you'll be much happier if you know why. And you, so we had to have this, and he was just like, literally, he was like, I have never thought about that. And it, he was just, and I was like, oh, I'm so smart. Like,
well, that just reminds me, I can't remember where I heard this from. It's like, I think that men, one of our greatest strengths is one of our greatest weaknesses, which is what this author, I can't remember who it is, but they called it like our do mode, quote unquote, do mode.
Fix it mode, yeah, too. Like, I could see
it's
that.
It's like
yeah.
our, so like men at our best sometimes is when we are focused, borderline obsessed with like a project, and we're like, we can close out the rest of the world to be like, you know what, I'm gonna get this, I'm gonna figure this out, I'm gonna get it done, I'm not gonna, I don't have time to care about how it looks, I'm not, I don't have any interest, I need to shut, I'm not, this emotions are being taken off the table, I am just into the zone. But then that becomes our weakness, is that we're ignoring a greater picture sometimes. If we're too, if we're always in that do mode, if we try to always stay in that do mode all the time, then we're going to neglect well, a lot of shit.
Well, and in the same quite idea, you know, I think men have more of a fix it person. This is so general, and I think we both recognize it, but from my experience, men have more of a fix it personality.
Definitely.
And women, which is why, like, when dudes hang out, and this is coming from a tomboy central. So I remember in college one day, I was like, I'm one of the boys. Like, it was this amazing thing. And then I was like, I know what men talk about. And it's nothing. They're playing video games and razzing each other. That is what men talk about. Yep. Like, that's all you do.
Yep.
Whereas women, I mean, if it's just the girls, they get into it. So, like, I noticed that, like, if I have an emotional issue, if I'm having some problem, for a woman's mind is, listen, be present, offer solution. You don't even have to offer, just be present, talk about it, agree. Men, fix it. So it's like, I can't talk about the same issue twice with Alex or with any male friend, because they're why aren't you fixing it? Whereas I could call up my best friend six times and be like, oh my God, guess what she did today? And she's like, like, it is just, you know, it's not a fix it mode. You are fixing it and understanding it better, but it's not, he'll be like mad at me. He's like, well, all right, well, what do you want me to do? And I'm like, I just want you to listen to me. Like, what are you?
Man, that was like one of the best things I ever, one of the best little pieces of advice that I can pass on to literally everybody is that, when your girlfriend or your whoever you're seeing is recapping their day, don't try to fix their
problems.
Just don't even give your opinion on it other than just reiterate whatever they're feeling. Just like, that sucks. Yeah, that's great.
If
that's
they awesome. Ask for it, great. Or if it's ongoing.
But that happens maybe 5% of the time. That's generous.
That's generous.
Like, it's rarely asked for, like, what I
but
think should
is,
be done. But if it is, then yes, I will give
There was one night that Alex and I got into it about, I sound like I'm arguing with him. I'm not. We're just very honest and open. Mm-hmm. He's a Gemini. He's a talkative guy.
Also, it's not interesting to be like, well, we get along, you know.
Right. All the time. It's not interesting.
So remember that time we were getting along great.
We were just, everything was boring and we pet our dogs a lot in silence. But there was one night where we were like, obviously having some wine, because that's what you do when you're getting honest. And I was really sad and really frustrated and had nothing to do with him. It had everything to do with my career path, blah, blah, blah. But I was super frustrated. And he had seen it for a while and he'd been in sort of fix it mode. But he, to his male credit, was like, what do we need to do to get you out of this? And I'd felt trapped and I'd never taken the step back and been like, oh, it's a fixable problem. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, and so I really value that, because it literally, he was like, okay, well, this is step A. And then after this, you don't do this. And I was like, oh my God. Okay, I have power. Like, it was a very valuable thing.
Wait, are you a believer in like feminine, masculine energy type person?
Yeah. I am, because, I mean, I think it's extremely fluid. I would say I'm a woman 1,000%. With masculine energy, you know?
And I think I'm a guy with a strong sense of his own feminine sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's so fluid. So, you know.
And life is more interesting, I think, for me that way.
Totally. If the sun and moon are feminine and masculine, like everything, dark and light and everything, right? So everything has a response.
I think most people are blends. And I think whatever your blend is, like, honor that mix. Some people are just naturally 80% masculine, 90% masculine or feminine, you know, and we don't need to shame those people for just being that. But also, and this is why I'm glad we've come to where we have in society, it's like more and more room for us in the middle, in these weird gray areas, these weird mixes, these weird blends, or you know, people who were born with male bodies with feminine energy and vice versa. I mean, I feel like I'm probably 65, 35 masculine, feminine, maybe. I don't know if I had to put a number on it, which I do have to.
Yeah.
Somebody's making me. I have to.
There's a gun to your head.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like the astrology thing we started talking about. It's anything, you know, elements of my personality are very masculine. As a result, I need elements of my partner's personality to be more masculine.
Right.
But then I sort of also need elements of his personality to be feminine.
Exactly. I think
I'm too masculine. I'm like, I can't. I need you to sense it in me.
Yes. Like, I think we do best when we find somebody who's already reciprocal. Like, so a 90% male guy is probably going to do better with a 90% feminine type woman.
Right.
I said male, but you know what I mean.
Masculine. I got you. Masculine.
Yeah. Just to clarify.
Right.
But then for me in the middle, yeah, I've dated women who are much more feminine, like 80, 90% sort of that range. There's something missing. There's just not quite, there's a little bit of a disconnect for me there. But then I also date women who have even more masculine energy, who are maybe closer to like pure 50-50, or maybe they have more. And that doesn't work for me either in a different way. But the women I've had the most relationships with, the best ones, are always somewhere that same kind of reciprocal opposite sort of.
Right. It's like you're this puzzle piece of like, here's where I'm masculine, here's where I go feminine. And like, you need to sort of fill in as best as we can these two spots. And I don't think everything's ever perfect. Like, obviously, you just find someone close enough and then hope eventually they grow out the rest and get rid of parts that, like, you know, you get close. I mean,
I see. Well, I think.
How are we doing? Are we? Are we?
Yeah, we're good on time.
Okay, good. I was like, this is so fun.
This is a lot of fun. Did I tell you? I've stopped telling enough people about the gimmick of the show, like making up a religion. Did I tell you that thing?
Oh no! Oh yeah, you probably did.
Maybe you mentioned it in passing.
I've been a little all over the place. So keep going. Let's make it up.
So I got these questions.
Great.
These little bullet point things. We're gonna make up. And as a good you would do anyway.
I mean, I've been doing that my entire life, so bring it on.
I mean, I really, sometimes I'm like, I should just be a Unitarian and just fucking end. Like,
you can't not be. I mean, the really? Fact that Nobody you're can. Searching, all you have to do is have coffee after the service and you're in.
I think Unitarians would probably say, like, even if you've never been to church, everybody's a Unitarian.
Right.
Like, you can't not be a Unitarian.
I mean, I remember our covenant was love is the spirit of this church and service is its vow to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth and love, and to help one another. What kind of asshole doesn't want that? You know what I mean? You can still then be like, and also Jesus is our savior. You can tack anything you want to the end, but that is just sort of a universal truth.
We can call that metaphysical, but that physically blew me back.
That's the only thing we repeat together. And I think there's a nice tradition in, like, in unison as a community. Like, that's what UU offers, is a community of seekers. So it's like, they're not going to tell you what to believe, but they're going to be like, hey, can't you love? Don't you want to love? Like,
man, I need a community. That's a whole.
You should check out the UUs. They're all right.
No, I've checked them out. I think I might end up being. Anyway, that's for.
It's another, community. It's community. Yeah.
So for this new religion we're making up, it has to be totally serious, 100% serious.
Obviously.
Or it could be serious if you wanted to. What kind of god structure? What role does a deity or god have? Is it like a monotheistic? Is it polytheistic? Is there no god at all? Kind of like a Buddhism thing? Or?
It's like a river. My god is like a river.
Okay.
So there is this ongoing energetic river servicing everything. I wouldn't say there's one omnipotent being behind it, but I would say there's a hive mind collective love energy.
Mm.
Like that shit? Oh.
You know I like that shit. You didn't even need to ask me if I like that shit.
But that's because that's sort of how I see it. I don't see one person pushing a bunch of buttons. I see an energy flow that we feed into, that feeds us, that we recognize and recognizes us.
And we're happiest when we're in tune with it.
Yep. It's very hard to stay in tune even when you're doing your best.
It's constant calibration.
Yeah, constant calibration because it's changing radio waves. Yep. It's not 96.3 always. It's sometimes 105.7. You got to wake up and be like, yo, where are you today? Where am I today? How close are we? We're not close? Well, today's going
to
be rough.
Oh, man, that reminds me so much. I mean, this is what I actually originally meant to even talk about with the mushrooms thing, was that we only, and you were talking about how our things that are supernatural, they're maybe supernatural to us because we only have a specific thing. Well, it's like the idea that we only use 1% of our brains is what they say. Like, we only, and theoretically, some people say that taking certain psychedelics open your brain up to more different possible frequencies. Like, you're maybe receiving things that my brain is currently filtering out. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Well, I would also argue when we say we only are able to measure the 1% of the brain we're using. Okay. I would also like that same perspective is like, well, maybe we're using 90%, but we don't measure it because we're not asking our questions.
Right. It's on the back end.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the stuff that's underlying the website. You know, you don't see 90% of the website.
You don't see most of it. You don't see the zeros and ones.
No.
You just see the GIF.
So with this this river of love,
River Phoenix is what we'll call it. River
Phoenix. Hey, I mean, what would be like the main? I mean, we may have already just said it, but like, what's the main takeaway message? Kind of overarching ethos, like
that love that.
Just gonna love, say the UU thing.
Love is the spirit of this church. No, love is an action and active, and yeah. And that spirituality, which I'll use with all its baggage, is an active thing. And it's present whether or not you're actively involved in it. The more open you become to it, and it manifests itself in different ways. And even the bastardized manifestations of it still have elements of its reality in there. But if you recognize your own personal element of it, then you feel the most in tune and are able to work out the most that you came here in this physical plane to do and work out.
Yeah, I love that. And the idea of love being an action resonates so. I mean, I've thought about that recently. Just if there's something I wish more people who had zero interest in religion and spirituality, who, I mean, none of them are listening right now, but if I could tell them anything, it is that love is an action and you don't need to wait to feel love, mm-hmm. to act in love, to be a loving person. That's what, God damn. I mean, if that's not what most religions are just trying to say at the end of the day, in terms of like, what's the actionable, what's the thing I actually want you to do? I just want you to choose to be loving, even as Jesus would say, even to your enemies, even in the midst of being hated, even in the midst of being condemned, even in the midst of whatever it is, you can always choose love.
Mm-hmm.
And it is something that you do and you practice, not just wait to feel.
Yes.
That's a whole separate thing. We've conflated them, but.
Yes. And even I would even say like what we were talking about, the love languages earlier on like a micro level. For me, that's one thing that's been a boon to my relationship is I sometimes have to remind myself like choose to love. I mean, of course I do, but it's like, what are the ways today that you can show him he is loved? And that makes me feel good because then this person I care about feels loved and safe. And like, it sounds mm-hmm. silly, but that's like something I do with my dogs all the time. Like by them loving me and by me giving a little to this little creature that doesn't care, I am like, it's an active, like, you are safe. I love you. Here, let me show you. Like, it just feels good.
Yeah.
And I don't have all the time in the world at the moment, unfortunately, to do bigger actions of like more giving service, but I try and be the most myself because my hope is by creating joy in comedy and by being a light and being a, elements of a light and being myself, that could inspire others to be, see, and feel love.
And that's fucking beautiful.
Thank you.
I got broken up with today. You know that?
I should have brought one of my dogs or both of them.
I would have fucking loved that.
Oh, I didn't even ask.
God damn, I love dogs.
They're the best.
They're probably not technically allowed here, but we would have.
I mean, they're my. But both of them are my service dogs.
Are there any rules in this religion? Are there any sins? Things we can or can't?
I mean, anytime you smack the hand of someone, you're only ending a behavior,
specifically
right?
Smacking.
You know what I mean? Like a sin, like, yeah, specifically, you're just ending a behavior and you're not changing the root problem.
Hmm.
So anytime you're not actively seeking or in tune or trying to or recognizing that you're technically sinning, I'd say, but it's not. But sin sounds like you're condemned. You're not. You're condemning yourself to a life that's not as joyous as it could be. That's not as magical as it could be. You're thinking that the physical plane is the only thing there is. You're fighting this fight.
Yeah.
And it's not. The physical plane is just the way we manifest what we came here to do spiritually.
Yeah. I love that. Are there any holy texts in this religion?
I mean, I'm non-doctrinal shit, so that's hard for me.
Well, we can expand whatever a text is to anything to, let's
nature,
say.
I'll say.
Nature is the text.
Nature is the text.
Okay.
So you
So, you know what? That makes more sense than it should.
But you see what I mean?
I do see exactly what you mean.
If you want to connect with it, you got to go into nature quietly. You got, or in whatever capacity you want, but nature is your scripture.
That is very transcendentalist. Very
I'm a little out there.
I mean, but like, that's one thing I loved about something Alan Watts would talk about with nature. And why do we love animals? Why does almost everybody just love being in nature? And it's because that's like ultimate reality, right?
Yeah.
I'm not reading somebody's opinion on this. I'm not having it like spun to me. I'm not having it put through a tube. It's here. This is the realest contact with the real. This is it. This is an actual manifestation. Humans didn't have a role in making this happen. Nope. It was just here. It came up itself. And then animals in themselves, why animals can be so fascinating is because they're not neurotic and they're not self-conscious about what they're doing. Beetles are just beetling, you know? Dogs are just doing a dog thing. Like maybe dogs are a bad example because they seem sometimes a little in their heads.
They can be a little, they're so attached to us that I think they become self-conscious. Like they're like, oh, humans sometimes are, so I guess I have to be too. But
like insect, bees are just being.
Yeah.
You know?
A friend of mine is in town and he mentioned, he lives in Maine now. He used to live here, and his family has an island in Maine. And he was talking about going there, he says, I think every other weekend or so, very often now. And he says it's so good for him. And he was describing the way, he's like to get up early and have the silence and see nothing but the sunrise and the ocean and this little, and you're by yourself and there's no agenda. And there's just, it gave me so many goosebumps. It was the same as a ghost story of someone being like, oh, your aunt visited me last night. And she said that, you know what I mean? It was just this beautiful. I was like, oh God, nature, and he seems so much happier. For me, I can balance. I love LA, so there's a lot of stimulation that I can handle, but he didn't love it. And so to hear how happy he is he lives in Portland, Maine, but gets to go to this island, and he loves it. And it's so good for him. Yeah. And it's that is his reality.
That's his text.
That's his text. That's all
the book
of our
text. Wants to read.
That's what I want to go to the beach tomorrow morning, and that's gonna hopefully, if I can't, I've been wanting that for 3 weeks. But if you go and it's just that is my friend and I joke, we talk to the waves, but it really is my just it's all you need. Just waves don't care. They do not care about your
waves
day.
Waves don't care.
They don't care. They're just waving.
I love that. Do we have any kind of weekly, monthly, yearly gathering or worship or
here's
fellowship.
What I like about ceremony. Ceremony and community, I think, are beautiful. So forcing anyone to do anything is gross. But I think there are times when I love recognizing ceremony and community. So I wouldn't have a problem. I wouldn't say when, maybe around time seasons changed. I sound so pagan. But equinoxes or New Year's or something. I think those are cool times to come together as a reminder of our shared humanity and the shared things, external factors that affect us.
Yeah.
And to reaffirm stuff, and even Christmas, I think it's cool because the season of December is a reminder of love and giving. So it's we don't have to get rid of Christmas. We don't have to remind us that it's Jesus all the time. If that's not, that didn't jive with you, but to have a season that's about generosity is super cool.
Well, that's what's so many, I think we've thrown out culturally a lot of the good Christmas messages with the Jesus bathwater. Cause we're we don't want specific Jesus shit anymore as much as a largely secular culture. But there's things where it's I'm dreaming of a white Christmas or it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Yeah.
But it's this is talking about Christmas as the feeling that it is. It's the mood that it is. And we were no thing. There is a war on Christmas.
Yeah, right. There is a war.
That's what I'm getting at.
And I think even if people want to have personal ceremony, with my wedding next spring, there's an element of would I, people have their own, and marriage comes with all of its own baggage and all of its own history that we can't even get into. But there is something really cool about affirming in front of friends and family that I am making a promise to this human, as is he to me, that we are going to, there's something cool about it. It's going to be very secular. My friend's doing it. He's but it's going to ceremony and stuff, I think, is neat. I think those things I would never want to throw out just because it's someone told me to do it. It's we could sign the paperwork and be married. No problem. And it would be probably the same outcome.
Right.
But there's something really cool about the energy of that.
I agree. And so you want this to be equinox sort of ceremony.
I'll do equinoxes and celebrations, personal celebrations.
What's happening at these? Is it like music? Is there like prayer, meditation stuff?
Great question.
What do these look like?
There's a lot of nature. Did I just go back to my nature?
We have to hold this in nature.
Yeah, I would just say like it's celebrating whatever it's meant to be. Brianna, what does that mean? As spring equinox is renewal, right? So maybe at the spring equinox, there's a dancing to shake off old energies. Maybe there's burning of old goals or something. Maybe there's baptismal-like things where people dunk in water to renew themselves for a new thing.
Two out of three of those, it's like, oh, Taylor Swift's going to be there. And then baptism, well, maybe. Maybe not too Swift at baptism, but...
Oh, Taylor Swift will throw the spring equinox party and my religion. Yeah.
Tight. Is there any... So we kind of... What's... it doesn't really apply here. Some of these, I'm like, well, that doesn't really matter. Yeah. are kids involved? Do we have a youth group? Do we?
Oh, heck yeah. Segregate? I think kids are the most intuitive. What I would hope is that our education system in this world where my religion exists doesn't beat out the creativity and intuition our children have and doesn't make them fit into a box. At the same time, like, kids can be little shits. Don't get me wrong. I babysat for too long. I would never glorify childhood as like, oh my God, if we can all be like kids. Kids don't share. Kids test boundaries. Kids push. They need, you know, like, in order to live in a society, we need to have certain things. But they're also like so beautifully loving naturally, so creative, so intuitive that it's like ways to cultivate that. I wouldn't, sort of like my youth group, we could, and I also think like my youth group, which the UUs do right, we talk about sex at a reasonable age and make it very like, here is sex, here is what it is, your body's gonna feel this, it is a natural thing, don't be ashamed by it, like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure UUs have gotten pregnant a lot, but not as many as say as like Catholics, because we were told to use birth control.
Yeah, that's a whole other ball of wax of like, man, don't even get me started on the church and sexuality.
I'm sure. Yeah. It's its own thing.
Is there any kind of, is there any kind of organization after we leave our equinox celebrations? Are we staying together for like mission work? Or are we like doing any kind of volunteering?
Why not? We could like, I think it's cool. I think in that there would be people like we talked about who would naturally be drawn to helping others who are less fortunate. So there could be some people who work on that. There could be others who maybe need to work on their own personal relationships in order for them to shine brighter so they could work on that. And others who just want to clean up some trash. So I feel like there could be post or pre-ceremony elements of like, what's a service you can do in order to lighten yours and someone else's load today?
Okay. I like it.
It's super hippie.
Was there any kind of outreach or marketing evangelism about this?
I mean, I'm UU, so evangelism is like the app. I'm not UU. I've been call myself UU in years, but like I grew up in a non-doctrinal. I know. God, I'm like growing up non-doctrinal and non-evangelical. And just having that instilled in me so strongly,
yeah.
It feels so wrong because to me, living your life is the best example of inspiring others to do. And also, you and I are hardwired similarly, but there are lots of people who are not like us. Sadly, yes. If it would be so much better if we were, but
everybody should be like me.
They should be exactly like you.
Yeah.
But it is so. I would never want to ask someone to live like that because it'd be uncomfortable for them. It'd be uncomfortable for my farmer cousin to start talking about his feelings and, you know, celebrating the spring equinox just because I told him to. So I think, you know, there's a gentleness to people like us that is needed, but we have to recognize that not everyone, just like Republicans and Democrats, people think differently. They have different realities. They have different hardwiring. So I would, you know, I couldn't evangelize. I would, my life would be, which is sort of what I do in comedy. Like, I'm not a mean comic. I'm trying to be positive. I'm trying to make myself laugh and find my own joy so other people can laugh.
You know, do you know Anne Lamott? Do you read Anne Lamott?
Yeah.
Big Anne Lamott fan. One thing she, in her book on writing Bird by Bird, just talks about how being a lighthouse doesn't tell everybody, doesn't try to save everybody. A lighthouse just shines.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. So we would just exist. We'd have our own religion and, you know, people want to chill, cool. If they want to find their own, like I said about my one friend who needed stories and needed structure and myth, like, rad. Maybe we could have elements where people like her find community within ours. Mm-hmm. But if not, like, you need to find you. You got to find you. Don't make me make you uncomfortable mm-hmm. because I don't need structure and story.
Right on. And finally, what do we call this?
Oh, God.
We had some good names, I think, earlier on. I'm trying to remember.
River Magic.
The River
the River Magic Unicorn.
Waves waving. We had something like
metaphysical
that.
Metaphysical River. I just feel like if I throw metaphysical just on it. Like, yeah, I don't know. Waves waving. Oh, Wavis and Riverson. Am I giving it a name like a person?
You're naming it. Like,
Wavy Riverson. Wave yeah, Wave Smith. It's Wave Smith. He sings getting cool-y with it. I don't know.
Well, it used to be that I would just call every episode title whatever the religion was, but I'm not doing that anymore.
Oh.
I'm doing a different naming convention. If anybody is, probably nobody has noticed, but it's
interesting.
Slightly different.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know what to call it.
Doesn't. I'm saying
River
the stakes,
of Love.
I'm just saying the stakes like are even less than they used to be.
I'm like, do I have to do a 70s song?
Yeah.
I don't know. Magic River is what I would call it.
Woo!
I'll go Magic River.
Sick. Wait, are you, before I go, are you getting married in a UU church?
No, so neither. I mean, that's how much I don't identify with. I literally haven't called myself UU till this
podcast.
It
made me a little sad the way you said that. I was like, oh, I kind of wish you had.
So, what, that I were getting married yeah. in a UU? It's the only church I would have. And my friends who got married just a couple weekends ago did a UU church, and it was beautiful. Mm. The reason we're not is I found this place that is, it's a restaurant, and it's super convenient for logistical purposes.
Sure, yeah.
And
yeah.
when we walk in, it's ivy, and there's incense burning, and there's little Buddhas hidden all over the place, and there's a funky man. Gazebo, and it's right by a river.
You're
river
lighting
magic.
Up so much. I it love
is,
it.
I mean, it, and like they care about the energy and the food, and it is so hippie. So
I love that.
We walked in, literally, Alex and I walked in to see it, and like they were like, just check out the bookstore, which has like Hobbit like lettering and crystals inside. And he was like, oh my God, this place is so you. And I turned and I was like, I'm gone. You have to be the one to evaluate this. Like, I want this so bad. All of my logic is gone. And so once he was like, oh, it's a great price. Then. So no, because I found like the perfect place.
See, that's masculine do mode.
Exactly. Like, yep, that's good. That was me being like, I'm gone in feminine world. So you have to turn into the boy right now.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I hope it goes as spiritual and ethereal as you want.
I do too. I'm making it sound really spiritual and ethereal. So
no, hey, that's what the ceremony's for, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So where people, you say you do metaphysical comedy, that's monthly?
Yeah, I'm trying to make it monthly. I'm actually hoping to switch it over to the House of Intuition, which is on Sunset Boulevard if you're in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
There's a cool spot there.
I've heard of that place. I'll have to check it out.
Oh, it's like where I've gotten half my guests. Like, they're amazing there, but it's a really cool spot. You should check it out. It's very crystals. It's very energy healing. It's
into
very cool.
It. Say no more.
Say no more. And yeah, check that. Tell Naha I said hi. She's the best. I do that. And then I do book report. I do a comedy show Thursdays.
Right. And where should people find you online?
Oh, thank you. BriannaHanson.com, Brianna Comedy on Instagram.
I'll have Brianna links
Hanson.
To this shit.
Yeah. The Brianna Hanson. You know, I'm on the place. I can be found. But well, mostly BriannaHanson.com has a lot of my stuff. So thank you for mentioning it. Because not a lot of people love the metaphysical comedy except the people who have found out about it. Everyone else is like, wow.
Well, you know, it's like, this is how it's the same with my podcast and the things I do. And I've done a couple live shows that are like my favorite fucking thing. And everybody, I swear I'm not just saying this. It seems like everybody really loved it. Like, I only say that because in contrast to other things I've done.
Sure.
They could take it or leave
it. You know when you've bombed. Yeah.
But like, they're like, people saying, but like, yeah, it just needs to get the word out. But then something I'm a huge Grateful Dead fan, which maybe that's not that surprising, but something Jerry Garcia would say about the Grateful Dead, it's like, we're like licorice. You know, not many people like licorice, but people that like licorice fucking love licorice.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I feel about metaphysical comedy. It's like, I've gotten to do it in a few places. I'm grateful for it. And it's still trying to find its home, and I finally got it on iTunes, which is exciting.
Nice. Well, that is exciting. So check that out on iTunes, and thank you so much. I'm glad we worked this out.
Yes, thank you, Joe. This is fun.
Yeah. And that's the show. Once again, thank you so much to Brianna, ChooseYourOwnReligion.com for old episodes of that. Go to ChooseYourOwnReligion.com for old episodes of me. Thank you so much to Brianna. Go to ChooseYourOwnReligion.com for more of this old shit. I'm going to be great. I love you guys very much. Thank you so much for everything. I am truly lucky. Namaste.
What's a Creative Podcast Network?